This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone! Passes does it.
Swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Tessie. It's episode 172. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Hit that subscribe button wherever you're getting your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. We really appreciate both of those things. Find us on WEEI's YouTube channel. You can find the Play Tessie playlist there. Has every single one of our episodes, and we have beautiful faces, so just go check it out. And hit the thumbs up on the videos. Subscribe to WEEI. Find us on the socials, at Play Tessie on Twitter and Instagram. I'm here with Sammy, and I'm here with Pat, and it's going to be hard to not swear in the first 5 minutes. I love this podcast so much. I love this podcast because this is now the second straight time that we've gotten like brutal news this offseason right before jumping on recording. If you don't remember last time as a listener, I know you guys certainly remember this. We got the news. So Max Fried had signed elsewhere with the Yankees. There was the report that the Red Sox front office and Cora and Kennedy, whatever, were split on Bregman. And then right before we got on the podcast, we got the report that Corbin Burnes, we thought the Red Sox were going to sign Corbin Burnes because a couple reports had said that they were getting close, but turned out that that wasn't true. And they're actually not even going to sign him. And we hopped on the podcast and we ripped a you know what. And now today, I swear, maybe 20 minutes before we get on this podcast, 30 minutes maybe, we get the report from Chandler Rome, The Athletic, the Astros, their players went nuts when they found out that they weren't going to be in on Bregman, that they went and got Paredes and Christian Walker, and that they were going to let Bregman walk. The players flipped out, and at this point, because of the market not really advancing past what it was, the Astros' six-year, $156 million offer to Alex Bregman remains on the table. And I don't know about you guys, I'm going to kick it to you off this, but if that report is true and the Astros have a six-year deal with a high AAV on the table, regardless of deferrals or anything like that, if that offer is on the table, it's curtains. He is not coming to Boston if that offer is on the table. The Red Sox are not going to top that, And even if they did top it, they would have to top it by a good amount to get him to leave that place where he's building a legacy. With that offer on the table, I do not think that Alex Bregman will come to Boston.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with all of that. I think that if that rumor is true, 6 years, $156 million, can't do the AAV off the top of my head, not that good at math, but yeah, the Red Sox are not topping that. I have been saying for weeks now, I think the Red Sox are going to get Alex Bregman, but I'd like them to speed it up a little bit because the longer you wait, you know, it's nerve-wracking. A team could jump in. So on one hand, you could say the longer you wait, the better you feel because you feel like he's eventually going to cave and take the Red Sox offer. But this is the other side of the coin we're seeing now. This is the, you can't even call the Astros a mystery team. This is the original team jumping in. And the one thing I don't agree with, Gordo, is I don't think you have to top it by that much. I mean, they're talking about maybe position changes. Maybe it's to accommodate Bregman. Maybe Bregman's the guy that's moving. Either way.
No, they said that Bregman would play third, so he wouldn't have to move. It would be like Altuve Paredes thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm buying that part. Either way, they're talking about position changes, which is the point. It wouldn't be the exact same Astros team he's going back to, but who knows? I think the Red Sox, if they, you know, put out the same offer as the Astros, I think they'd have a shot, but...
Ooh, I highly disagree with that.
Well, I don't think that matters.
He's building a legacy there.
Okay, it doesn't matter because they're not going to top that offer anyway. Legacy, schmegacy, I don't care. They're not going to top that offer. He's not coming here. So start thinking about Nolan Arenado because... And by the way, we don't have 100% confirmation that this is, you know, 100% true. The 6 years, 156.
Chandler Rome is good. Chandler Rome's legit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I feel pretty confident in his report. Like Gordo was just saying, it's a legit reporter, a beat writer who works for the Athletic. So yeah, this is the first time in a long time I'm feeling like, okay, maybe they're not going to get Bregman.
And he's been all over this all offseason too, like dating back to like when they dropped out of it. Like he was all over everything. But Pat
Rome, Chandler Rome is the reporter we're talking about from the Athletic. Yep. So if he's saying that there's a 6 year, 156 offer back on the table, probably true.
This is ridiculous because you've now had, so let's go back, right? The Yankees get Bellinger and Devin Williams. The Astros get Paredes from the Tucker trade for about 6 weeks or so, going on 6 weeks. His main market has been Toronto, Detroit, Boston. You had 6 weeks to capitalize on a weak market and put an offer in front of him that was suitable and stomachable for him to accept. You took the gamble to think, oh, teams are just going to start weeding out. He's going to fall into our laps. Well, guess what happened? He went back to the team that he wants to be with. They want him back. There's a 6 year 156. 2 weeks ago, if they offer 6 for 156 in some form of option or 5 for 150 with some form of option, he is yours. I'm not talking about like 2 weeks ago, you know, you give him $200 million. It's not some crazy overpay because he was not talking to the Astros. Now you're at the point where you're essentially buying him away from Houston after 6 weeks of sitting on your thumb doing nothing. They've done nothing for 6 weeks. And now, instead of just bidding against yourself or against the Detroit team where he does not want to go, you're now trying to buy him away from Houston, which is going to, instead of waiting out and getting a discount, you're exponentially overpaying to even get him to think about leaving Houston. Just horrible, horrible mismanagement.
Pat, I can't say I disagree at all because we talked about it. We sat here on this podcast when the reports of the Red Sox not making an offer, not really showing advanced interest, not really doing much of anything. When those reports were coming out, I mean, we didn't specify that we thought the Astros were going to jump back in, but this is the risk you take when you want to wait out a market. There's two potential results here. You get the JD Martinez result where the guy doesn't get another offer and he falls in your lap. And I always said that this situation was not going to be like the JD Martinez situation because JD Martinez was a DH in a time where only half of the league had DH spots. And obviously probably at least half of those teams had DHs in those spots. So nobody really could pursue JD. It was a smart gamble by the Red Sox back then to take that path. But this was different. We said it was a huge gamble because Bregman plays multiple positions. Bregman can be flexible. There's going to be a lot of teams interested there. Yeah, they may not be interested at beating the $156 million that was originally on the table, or so we thought at the time. But there's going to be a lot of teams interested. So if you sit around, the longer you wait, the higher chance that a team that you didn't expect to jump in jumps in. And a week ago, we thought maybe it was the Cubs at a short-term deal. That didn't really materialize. Nothing else really came outside of that one quick report. But today, it's the Astros. It's $156 million on the table. And if that, again, if that deal's on the table, I would be stunned if he chose the Boston Red Sox. And at that point, there are no free agents after Alex Bregman that I think can join the Red Sox and make you a better offensive team than you were last year. And that's including with the prospects coming up too.
So how crappy is this? We went from thinking they're going to sign Alex Bregman, and then all of a sudden you have this surplus of talent. So maybe you move a guy like Willier Abreu and you recoup something else. And now you have Bregman at second, Devers at third, Yoshida can stay. He's the DH. You just move Abreu, clear up space for Roman Anthony to take over a corner outfield spot. You get maybe prospect capital back for Willier Abreu. Great. Red Sox are just rolling in it. And now the pivot is probably going to be you lose a guy like Willier Abreu for Nolan Arenado in cash or something like that, which is just 1,000 times less exciting and not as good for the team, all because these guys wanted to be patient, wait out the market, save a few bucks, and sign Alex Bregman rather than just getting the guy. It's so frustrating. I feel like we've been doing this and having the same conversation for literally for years now, and nothing ever changes. And they talk a big game, and we're like, oh, good job, Sam Kennedy. Good job talking a big game. Nothing ever changed. They've signed nobody. The last time the Red Sox made a move was Walker Buehler. A meaningful move was Walker, but that was a month ago.
And how about the last time they signed a 3-year or more deal? Who like seriously, actually think about it.
3-year or more deal.
Was it Yoshida?
Yeah.
My God, it was Yoshida. The last time the Red Sox, the Boston Red Sox have not given out, 3 years isn't even that long. That's a mid-tier.
No, it's not.
Like 3-4 years. That's not a long-term deal. My God, it's just so frustrating every year over and over and over again. And you want to buy in and feel good. I've bought in on Bregman. That's why I'm annoyed, because it's like we've seen this song and dance before. They're not going to get Bregman. They're going to give us some bullshit excuse. Craig's going to stand up there and give us some, you know, PR kind of response. And I get it. He has to do that. I'm so sick of it. And how could you blame casual Red Sox fans for not being interested in the team if the front office and ownership shows you that they're not interested in the team? Who cares? It's so frustrating.
Is there any part of you that thinks maybe they'll, like, cause like, I don't want to answer my own question. I want to ask you the question. Is there any part of you that thinks, hey, cause we texted about this. What was the thing that made them step up their offer for Garrett Crochet?
Max Fried.
It was Max Fried going to the Yankees. Is there a chance that this report of the Astros having $156 million on the table for Alex Bregman is going to be the thing that kicks the Red Sox in the ass and makes them realize, holy shit, if we don't get this guy, what is next? We have to pay. We have to give him 180. Is there
How could they not already know that? How do they not know that already? That they're like, hey, maybe, oh, crap, another team's going to swoop in and take him? We thought it was just us and the Tigers. Come the fuck on. I hope you're right, Gordo, but if you are
No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm asking. I certainly don't believe it. No way.
I mean, yeah, excuse me. Yeah, yeah. I didn't mean say that that's what you thought. I hope that is true, is what I mean.
Yeah, I hope
that is true, that it's like their come to Jesus moment. They're like, oh my God, we got to get him. But then, if that is true, what the hell were you guys thinking before? You thought he was just going to take the Anthony Santander $92.5 million deal? You're crazy. There's so many ways you can slice it, and they're all bad.
Pat, do you think there's any chance that this is their kick in the ass?
No. I don't. I don't think it's the kick in the ass, and I just don't think that they're... The kick in the ass, legitimately, should have come so much earlier in the offseason. The kick in the ass for every cascade of moves that should have happened was the Yankees losing Juan Soto and still having a good offseason. Williams, Bellinger, Goldschmidt,
Fried.
Like they they went out loaded. You just watch the team that you could very easily could have overtaken in the AL East reload to be just as good. And they're like, hey, well, maybe we'll wait out Bregman. Maybe he takes a 1 year, $3 million deal. Who knows? Maybe that's what happens. And it's just, there's no urgency, which drives me insane. Because the one thing that Craig has been saying since fucking October, conviction and aggressiveness, we have seen none of that. None of that. Urgency, sure, with Crochet, but it's because you lost on Max Fried. You had to do it.
Yeah, they had to get her. They had to show urgency in that case. And like, I guess right now they're in the spot where, yeah, you have to show urgency now. But to be honest with you, like they've been in that spot. Like, especially since Santander signed. But like, if they never had interest in Santander, then guess what? Like, this level of urgency that like has needed to be there for the better part of a month. Like, how long has Bregman been the last free agent hitter that you would kind of be okay? It's been since Teoscar signed that Bregman is like kind of the last free agent hitter that the Red Sox are showing interest in that you think could reasonably upgrade the team, because the only one left after Bregman is Sammy, cover your ears, it's Randall Grichuk. That's the only other free agent they've shown interest in that is still on the market.
Dude, the coping is already starting. The coping is starting. I'm seeing people all around social media, Instagram and Twitter, being like, you know, I really want Alex Bregman, but Randall Grichuk does represent a little bit of an improvement, and I just want to throw my laptop across the room, scream, light myself on fire, and then jump in the Charles and freeze to death.
I have a question for you guys. I have a question. The other thing outside of the, because I read the article in The Athletic, and obviously the thing that stood out was that $156 million offer was on the table, and I tweeted that out. But the thing I had copied onto my phone, ready to paste a tweet before that, and didn't end up doing it just because I thought I found like the most important thing to tweet. But the second most important thing was also really noteworthy, which was that the Astros players ripped shit. They got pissed when the Astros got Paredes and got Christian Walker and basically announced that they hadn't made progress with Bregman and they were going to move on. When they said that, the Astros players went nuts and it made them reconsider.
Wait, Gordo.
My question.
Are you saying the Astros had an issue in the clubhouse and they decided that maybe they should address it?
That's what I'm saying. And my question is, where would the Red Sox be if the management of this team operated like that for the last three, four, five years? What would be different? They'd have Xander locked up on a reasonable contract, although, to be honest with you, with his production, that may not be that reasonable, but Xander would be locked up.
Well, you wouldn't have Story, probably, because you wouldn't have to have signed a backup plan for Xander. You would have just signed Xander, and then you'd be like, oh, okay, he's not working out. Let's put him at second. Let's sign a different shortstop. Bring up Meyer. Ugh.
Kyle Schwarber would be here.
Great.
Eduardo Rodriguez, I don't know. And even if they did re-sign him, he would have hit free agency again, so whatever. But Kyle Schwarber would be here. That would have been good. What else?
Mookie Betts?
They wouldn't have made... Oh, God, that's a good one. Well, they wouldn't have traded Vasquez, so they wouldn't have Abreu, but like they
Eovaldi.
Have Betts, so who cares? They'd have paid Eovaldi. That's a good one. They'd have paid Nathan Eovaldi.
It's just...
They wouldn't have traded Chris Sale, I don't think.
Lester... No, I'm kidding. We went too far back, but
that's
too
works. That works. Yeah. Come on, that works.
It's just so like I don't even know. I'm honestly not even that mad at this one. I'm kind of laughing at this point. How could you even be mad? It's just it makes me feel dumb getting mad at this point. I'm just kind of like whatever. Okay, thought they were gonna get Bregman. They didn't get Bregman. They're not gonna be that good next year.
I think haven't had enough time to process your emotions. We literally just got this news. Dude, I feel like I'm processing this news and like, yes, like whatever. We're emotional about the Red Sox. Kill us, like whatever. But
please don't kill us.
No, seriously, man, kill us. But
no, Gordo's like, no, please put me out of my misery. This team, well, they might still get Bregman. There's still a chance. It's just
I feel so bad about it.
Yeah, it's so funny. Before this, so like we had. I forget what had come. Oh, the thing that came out before this was that the Astros, we thought they traded Ryan Pressly to the Cubs. Someone reported that. I think it was Bob Nightingale. Turns out that he may not have waived the no trade clause, but like the fact that the Astros were trying to shed some salary kind of rang my alarm bells. I was like, oh shit, like are they clearing salary for Bregman? And I texted you guys. I said, I'm very close, because my take before was that I'll take the field over the Red Sox, but I can't find a team that I think is more likely than them right now. And I was before this article came out, I was like, I'm this close to switching to the Astros are more likely than the Red Sox, literally just because of this alone. And it's crazy how far it goes in a day, because the day before it was, we saw that weird Carlos Baerga graphic where he's like, hey, Alex Bregman could sign with the Red Sox in the next couple of days. And then we got Jared Carrabas on Twitter was preaching a lot of pessimism, but in that pessimism was basically a confirmation that the Red Sox did in fact make an offer, which I saw as reason for optimism. Knowing that 6 years, 156 is on the table, no longer reason for optimism in my opinion. But it's crazy just how like one little thing can take you from like, okay, like I could see this, to wow, what the fuck are our backup options? Because that's where my head's at right now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you even say? I'm literally, as we're recording, I'm going through all the rosters in Major League Baseball, trying to think of a trade option that I would like. And the only guys I can think of is people we've spoken about. Seiya Suzuki, a little less so, Taylor Ward. I might as well just go with Christian Campbell at that point if you're going for Taylor Ward. So I feel the same way about signing Grichuk. Like, it has to be a meaningful addition. When you have a guy like Christian Campbell, and this is why when people say, oh, you don't need Alex Bregman, you have Christian Campbell. No. Alex Bregman is a stud. If you can get that guy, you get that guy. Figure it out for Christian Campbell after. But if it's Randall Grichuk or like Taylor Ward, I don't know. I might just go for the young guy. And Seiya is kind of the in-between where I'm on the fence.
You just named two of the three that I've got on my list. But before I go there, before I give you those guys, part of me, because the Red Sox were not being aggressive on Alex Bregman. Offer or no offer, they were not being aggressive. Which tells me, and it tells us, that Bregman was not necessarily their plan A. Or at least some other factors needed to fall into place before they were willing to be aggressive. We heard the report of they were passing up on mid-market and low-tier options because they wanted to go after the big money players first. But is it possible that there's something on the trade market that they've wanted to kind of feel out first? It doesn't feel like Arenado was ahead of Bregman on their list. So I don't think it's that. But I do wonder, Sammy, you named two of the three guys. Actually, did you say one? You said Seiya Suzuki. I think you only said one.
Seiya, Ward, for trades?
I don't want Ward.
Yeah, me neither. Who you got, Pat?
Pat, can you name him?
Correa.
That's two. So it's Seiya,
Correa.
Yeah.
Correa is the... well, I mean, I got a name in mind. I don't know if it's the same one as you. I was thinking Ivan Herrera.
Not
Circle
mine.
Back to that.
He's fine, but he's not gonna be the right-handed masher they need.
Fair.
Who's the third?
Luis Robert.
Oh.
But yeah, I think Carlos Correa is the only one that because you think about, what do the Red Sox need? It's four things. They need to limit the strikeouts.
Yep.
They need to be able to hit left-handed pitching. They need to improve the defense. And they need power. People don't talk about that enough. They need power.
The problem with Lou Bob is he strikes out a lot.
Yes, he does.
He would make it tough to keep Yoshida in the lineup. So then I would be back to, like, you got to get rid of Yoshida somehow. I'd be back in that mode.
No, exactly. And it's the same thing with Seiya Suzuki, too, which is why, in my opinion, the best fit out of the three guys I named is Carlos Correa. The issue, though, is unlike with free agency, where Alex Bregman is obviously going to want to find a team before spring training or certainly before opening day, like, Carlos Correa is under contract for several more years. There is, like, I know that they're probably going to sell that team, but they do not need to trade Carlos Correa. They certainly do not need to do it today. They don't need to do it before the season.
But if you trade Carlos Correa and you move his money, it makes it much easier to sell a baseball team. It's hard to sell a team when there's a lot of money on the books. So, yeah, but you're right. You're technically right. They don't need to move him. I would rather the Red Sox, even if it's a quote unquote overpay, get a catcher. That's what I'm concerned about. That's, I think, the biggest flaw in the team right now is catching. They don't have any good. Who's a good starting catcher on the team? I don't think Wong is a long term starting catcher. Narvaez, people have talked themselves into being friggin' Yadier Molina. We haven't even seen that guy play yet. And who else is there? Password? I don't know. We'll see how he looks at the upper minors, but he's not close.
Password's not a catcher. It's the other one. His brother's
two,
the catcher.
Two passwords. Aren't they both nicknamed Password?
No.
No.
Yostinkson is Password. Johan Fran is the catcher.
I thought Johan Fran was also the Password.
No, he's the Password's brother. The only thing they share is Garcia.
Oh, I thought they were both very simple names. They both have difficult names.
No, but Sammy, I think it's two separate conversations. Pat, you could let me know if you agree with this. I think I agree with you that if you're looking at biggest quote-unquote hole on the roster, yeah, it's catcher. But what do the Red Sox need the most? They need to figure out this lineup. They need an upgrade in the middle of the lineup. Obviously, if they could make that a catcher, that would be ideal, but there's just not catchers available that can do that.
Yeah, and I think the other part of it too is, as is the lineup, there's very, very realistic potential that they are bottom 10 in home runs and top 5 in strikeouts. Like, there is no level there. There is no right-handed bat who hits for contact with a little bit of pop, gets on base, does a strikeout. Okay. That being said, if you take that out, take out even O'Neill. O'Neill struck out a ton, but he hit a bunch of home runs. Take him out, you're striking out just the same, if not more, so you're still top 5 in strikeouts, and you're losing 30 home runs that you're just banking on Casas hitting and everyone else to replicate what they did last year.
I go back to the quotes from Alex Cora at Fenway Fest and before Fenway Fest. He said it on Baseball's and Boring. He must have said this like 5 or 6 times in like a 3 or 4 day span. Like, clearly it's on the forefront of his mind with the amount that he said it. But Everyone talks about the prospects. I think they're going to be great players, specifically in this instance, talking about Campbell and Anthony, the guys who we think could play the majority of the year in Boston. I think Meyer maybe less so. But Cora was talking about, we want those guys to contribute, but we can't rely on them. Like, they can't, we should want them to be contributors to this team, but we cannot be relying on guys that have not played to take us where we want to go. We need to have that in place. And right now they don't have that in place. And like, maybe there's a plan to get something. Like, maybe that's why they haven't been aggressive on Bregman, is that they've been behind the scenes trying to maybe like circle back at on trade candidates. Like, I can confidently tell you that they have been doing that. Like, this is what executives do. Like, you can assume they have been talking to all of these teams, trying to figure out a way to get a right-handed bat in the lineup. And once they feel that they've exhausted all their options, they have their favorite one and they think it's gettable, that's when they're going to pounce. But the issue is, we're at the end of January, man. It is put up or shut up time. It is put up or shut up time.
Yeah, man, I'm still looking. I'm just looking at options right now, and it's not, there's no, the thing is, with these expanded playoffs, a lot of these fringe teams feel good about themselves and feel like they can contend. So there's less sellers in terms of trade markets. It's just like your options are like the Twins because their team is being sold, the White Sox because they're literally the worst team in history and they got worse, Pirates because they're the Pirates, the Cardinals because they're trying to do a rebuild, and that's it. It's like a handful of teams. Otherwise, you got to really overpay or give up major league talent, and you're not trying to give up major league talent. So, it just doesn't feel, I don't feel confident about where this is going anymore. That report really, and I don't want to be too doom and gloom, like it's over, they're not going to, who knows? Shit happens really quickly, but that report today has really quashed my enthusiasm in a big way.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is the report quashes your Bregman hopes. Like, how could it not? But it doesn't, it does not mean that they can't finish the offseason and have a good offseason. Like, if they can find a way to trade for Carlos Correa, like, that contract, I think, is better than bringing in an Alex Bregman. I would rather have Carlos Correa at 4 guaranteed years and then the rest are determined by games played rather than Bregman on a 6 or 7 year deal. I think it's a better contract. And, you know, I still think you would have to give something legit to get it. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, I think he's also maybe a better fit for the team. But I just don't know if he's gettable. I don't know if Seiya Suzuki is gettable. I don't know what the White Sox asking price is for Luis Robert. But if you look at the reports, it seems like it's crazy. So, like, that's why we always point towards the free agents.
White Sox should not trade Luis Robert. His value's at its lowest it's ever been. That's like a deadline guy to me anyway. Be willing to listen unless you, that one might require a legitimate overpay. And the reason I always frame the word overpay with like quote unquote or legitimate is because a lot of the time people will cry overpay, like with Garrett Crochet, but it's like, dude, that's the market. It's not an overpay if that's the market, that's market price. So kind of irrelevant, but I just wanted to add that. I don't know. I'm standing strong. I want them to overpay for a really good catcher. Get whatever you want. Overpay. Do it. Don't care. Hate that word.
All right. Let me ask you guys a question. And like, maybe it's bad to do this right now because it's January 23rd. There's still a bunch of guys on the market. Still relievers on the market. We haven't really gotten into that, but like tons of those guys are off the board. I think I have it written down who's been off the board just like recently alone. Tanner Scott, Yates, Hoffman, Kittredge, Minter, Seawald, Leclerc, all recently off the board. The guys that are kind of left, Kyle Finnegan, David Robertson, Tommy Canley, Carlos Estevez, a couple others that are kind of downgrades from that.
That's fine. That's still a good group.
It's still a fine group. Yeah. But the point I'm trying to make here is that it may be a little bit too early to ask this question, but I want to ask it while we're in an emotional state. So I can see sort of where we're at right now. If this was the Red Sox offseason, Sammy, I'll go with you first. If this was the Red Sox offseason and they went to spring training like this, what grade are you giving it?
No Crochet extension?
Yeah, no Crochet extension.
C-. Your offense got worse. Your rotation got much better, but one is a one-year deal, one's a two-year deal. Probably going to lose both. Your bullpen, I would say, got worse, right? You added Chapman, but you lost Kenley and Chris Martin. So yeah, your bullpen got worse. Yeah, no, C minus. And your farm got worse too. What did you do, really? You got a pitcher with a ton of upside, but he's going to be gone after 2026. So who cares? And you're not hitting enough, so you're not going to contend. You basically got two rentals at that point. One is just a slightly longer rental. So yeah, C minus, and that almost feels generous.
Pat, what about you?
Without the crochet extension?
No crochet extension.
D plus.
Ooh, I like
D plus. You added crochet for 2 years. You're gonna, if they don't extend him, they're losing him. I don't think that's even a debate. You have Giolito, who's expiring, Buehler, who's expiring, Chapman on a 1 year deal, Wilson on a 1 year deal. You didn't do shit to the lineup. You marginally upgraded. More than marginally. You substantially upgraded the rotation for next year with a worse offense and a worse bullpen. It feels like the same exact kind of outlook on 2025 as it was this time last year, looking ahead to 2024.
Pat, you say D plus. I don't even think that's a crazy take. And I'm going to go back to something I tweeted the day before we recorded this. I said, if the Red Sox traded two top 60-ish prospects for 2 years of Crochet, only to leave the roster as is aside from that plus Buehler and enter the season with the fourth highest projected WAR in the AL East, that might be the worst case scenario offseason. And then I said, sign Bregman, and that all changes. And people challenged me in the comments, and some people said, like, oh, if they extend Crochet. And I said, okay, yeah, that would change the calculus too. Because
that's huge. That's huge. That's like your ace, and you're locking him up long term. That would be huge. So, yeah, I think that's fair. That's fair to say that.
I'll give you my grade right now, but my grade right now can change so dramatically by just one of two things. And if you do both, it's like heaven on earth. But like right now, it feels like they traded a significant piece of the pie for their future for something for the present, and they haven't finished the job to make this team competitive in the present. You traded for 2 years of Garrett Crochet, but if you're not going to be competitive in year one, Sammy, you said it. It's basically like a rental. So right now, I feel like right now, D or D plus at best. And and you can change that in a second, because if you extend Crochet, then at least you can make the argument of, yeah, we signed a couple of one-year guys, and if we're not good, we'll trade him at the deadline. The Crochet move was a move for the future, and we extended him. So we're changing our outlook for the future. And I won't like it. I think this team is ready to compete right now. They said the team is ready to compete right now, but at least they like had a consistent direction and a consistent approach to what they were doing. The other option, of course, is to get a legitimately good right-handed bat. Alex Bregman is still out there. He would work. The guys I said before, Carlos Correa would work. Seiya Suzuki would work. Luis Robert should work, if assuming he bounces back. I'm pretty confident he will. If you do those things, yeah, you could get up to the B plus range at least. And if you do both, if you extend Crochet and get the right-handed bat and get the bullpen, now you're in the A minus territory. Like you're in good shape. But as it stands right now, it just feels like they took a small step forward for the present, but not enough to put them in contention. And they took a legitimate step back in terms of their farm, in terms of their future. Like they traded two top 60-ish prospects, so they took a step back there. And they didn't take enough of a step forward in the present as it stands today. If they do more, if they extend Crochet, if they add the right-handed bat, if they get the bullpen arm, it'll be completely different. It's why I said before that it might be wrong to ask this question today. But as it stands today, that's where I'm at, man. It's just not it. Right now, this cannot be the offseason. It just can't not be it. Cannot be.
Question for you guys. Does the American League being super unusually wide open, does that make this offseason better or worse for the Red Sox? Because on one hand, you could say, oh, they don't need to go nuts. They have the luxury of letting the young guys play. They could still contend. On the other hand, you could say it's wide open. If there's any year to go for it, it's now. Pounce. So what do you guys think?
Pat, you go first.
No, it's if you argue the former over the latter, and take this with a grain of salt just in case either of you guys do it, I would argue you're an idiot. Because
but I'm not gonna do it, like, Pat.
No, I agree with you. I'm with you.
I agree. Because it's so counterintuitive. You have a wide open American League, and you're just going to go, eh, I kind of like our chances. Let's ride, see what happens. When it just takes one signing, it takes one move, and you put yourself a little bit ahead of 75% of that pack. And even then, even after that one move, if you're like, we feel pretty good, fine. You did something to put yourself in front. Right now, everything they've done, and again, this is not forecasting a crochet extension. This is as is. You have made moves to stay with the thick of the pack. You've done nothing to put yourselves ahead. Do nothing to make yourself a legit conversational, like, they could come out of the American League. That's not what's happening. Right now, it's the same as last year. Like, oh, if everything breaks their way, yeah, wild card. And it's just, it's so asinine that you do not capitalize on a wide open league right now.
That, yeah, that's my response to Pat, to your question, Sammy. No, it's worse. It's worse that the American League is gettable, that they're not. And it makes it even worse that there's one move out there that they could make today. They could do it today. They could have done it yesterday. They could have done it last week. They could have done it last month. And they make that one move, and guess what? Like, you are a not just a division contender, you're a legitimate deep playoff run potential World Series contender because right. The AL is that weak. Right now, like, they're where they were last year, which is like, okay, they're wild card contenders. Maybe I'd argue that they're a little bit better contenders, but it's not because of what they've done. It's because of the little amount that the other teams have done. The Orioles have gotten worse. Other teams have gotten worse. Yeah. As it stands today.
And you know what's interesting about this situation is we kind of know, like Cora's been talking about Bregman nonstop. He keeps like, I'm not going to talk about him. And then he goes and he talks about him. It's very clear Cora very obviously wants the Red Sox to sign Bregman. And it sounds like ownership is cool with it too, based on the tea leaves that we've been picking up. Like, that's the talk right now. So if and when Bregman signs elsewhere, this is all on Craig Breslow. This will be Craig's first little oopsie. So I don't know how he'll handle that. He's going to hear how loud Red Sox fans can get because everyone knows this too. This is not inside info or anything. This is what everyone is saying. Everyone's saying it's Breslow saying one thing and then Cora and ownership are saying another. And now Breslow, oh man, I like him for 2013, but man, he is about to hear it from Red Sox fans. Good luck, Craig.
And I definitely think the book should still be out on, like, because I'm not going to sit here. Like, I had sold myself on Chaim Bloom. I was a Chaim Bloom guy. I thought he was good. Breslow, I'm not really swayed in either direction yet. I've liked a lot of what he's done, and there's obviously also been some tough moves that he's made. And we've seen sometimes he's decisive, but more often than not, like, well, I shouldn't say that. He's been way more decisive than we've seen. But the book is definitely still out on him, and you're gonna see people have defined opinions at the end of this offseason based off of how it turns out. But I've been saying for a while that, like, the second Alex Bregman goes off the board, if it's not to the Red Sox, like, it is going to be so unbelievably loud. Mm-hmm. It is going to be. It's already, like, this podcast, like, other people are gonna drop podcasts, videos. People are going to be tweeting, like, we're only at the very beginning. Like, we only got to see about 15 to 20 minutes worth of response tweets before we jumped on here. Like, we haven't even
Nothing's happened. Nothing's even happened yet. This is just speculation that people are freaking out. And I don't want to say I'm freaking out. Like, obviously, I yell a lot. But, I mean, if and when Bregman signs elsewhere, oh boy, get ready. Buckle up, Craig.
I got a question for you guys. So, once the Bregman and Astro stuff came out, I started thinking, and I was like, man, I feel like Craig just doesn't address bat issues. So, I went through. We're now through 1.5 off seasons in a full trade deadline. I excluded waiver wire pickups, and I excluded minor league transactions. This is just transactions to the major league roster. Are you ready?
Let's hear it.
Oh, God.
This is, in totality, everyone that Craig has acquired for the Major League roster since taking over last year. Walker Buehler, Aroldis Chapman, Justin Wilson, Garrett Crochet, Patrick Sandoval, Lucas Giolito, Michael Fulmer, Liam Hendricks, Lucas Sims, Garcia, Paxton, Priester, Criswell, Slayton, Fitz, Campbell, Weissert. those are all the pitchers that he has acquired since taking over. Trades and signings. Bats. Danny Jansen, Tyler O'Neill, Vaughn Grissom. What if I told you that a full offseason and a half and a trade deadline, Craig Breslow has never signed a free agent hitter for the major league roster? At what point are we allowed to say, does he not value offense? Can he evaluate offensive talent?
Because I have a response here. You go finish up, Pat. No, finish up. I think you're done.
At this point in time, I am fully convinced he is fully convinced that you can win with good pitching in defense, and offense just does not matter because he's done nothing to prove otherwise. And we're talking about a decent sample size here. This is not a couple of weeks.
I'll tell you why I disagree with this, Pat. It's because of two things he said, and I think both are true. When he first got the job, and he's been saying it consistently throughout, like, you look organizationally top to bottom, not just at the big league roster, but top to bottom, the offense is further ahead than the pitching. And so he has definitely taken a focus on the pitching for that reason. And then you look at something that he said this offseason, which I agree with mostly, but not to the extent where I would be okay doing nothing. But what he says is, or what he has said is, to upgrade this offense, like, we're not in a situation where you can get a solid player and have it be a meaningful upgrade. Like, for us to upgrade this offense, we have to get legitimate impact. And I think that maybe there's a chance that he's holding out for legitimate impact. I think you can make the argument that Bregman isn't legitimate impact with the bat. I wouldn't make that argument. I think he certainly is today. But I think he's the reason you haven't seen, like, the quantity of additions with the bats is because there's only so many elite hitters that you can look to target. And most of the time, those teams don't want to give those away. And when they're free agents, they want big money. And in one half of the off seasons that he's had, ownership has held him back from giving big money. Teoscar Hernandez would have been a Red Sox. That would have been your free agent bat last year. Ownership wouldn't let it happen.
All right. My concern, I kind of like what Pat was getting at. Like, maybe he has that in the back of his mind. Actually, it's kind of a combination of what both of you said. How Pat, you were saying, like, oh, he doesn't value offense as much, but could see that he was a pitcher. And then Gordo, you were saying the offense is way ahead of the pitching in the org, which is, yeah, no shit. Like, come on. It's way ahead. It's way ahead. It's not even close. But that doesn't mean you, like, don't address it at the major league level. Like, how it doesn't take a genius to see, like, Tyler O'Neill was key in that lineup last year. And we know he has his flaws. He strikes out a ridiculous amount. He wasn't great all the time with guys on base. Okay. But when you have a big right-handed bat in between Devers and Casas, it changes the way the opposing manager manages his pitching staff. It changes the way pitchers attack hitters. It makes a difference whether you see it or not. And for me, it's like, I would like to see more urgency. Gordo, I think you mentioned that earlier. Urgency is a good word. They promised urgency. They have not been urgent at all. The only urgency we've seen was the Max Fried thing, which we spoke about earlier. He signs with the Yankees, bang, Red Sox quickly pivot to Garrett Crochet. We're all hyped about it, rightfully so. They were quick. They did it. They got uncomfortable, whatever you want to call it. It just feels like they did it once and they're like, okay, we're good. Like it's like a relationship where one half of the relationship is a scumbag, and then they bring flowers home and like, cool, all right, I'm off the hook for the next few months. I can just be an asshole. The Red Sox are the asshole here. We are the sweet, sweet, nice part of the relationship.
And I don't want to downplay like how huge the Crochet addition was. Like, it was huge. But again, with what Sammy said and what I said earlier, like, a move like that really is only as impactful as the moves you make to match it. Like, yep. It doesn't matter. Like, if Juan Soto signed with the Miami Marlins, guess what? Miami Marlins are still not making the playoffs, and they probably just wasted a shit ton of money on a player that's not going to make a difference for them. So, like, that's kind of where we're at right now. Like, I agree with you, Sammy. You need that right-handed power bat to put in between Devers and Casas. It's what we said last year. It's what we're saying this year. I don't think you can rely on Trevor Story to be that. I don't think it's smart to rely on a rookie in Christian Campbell to be that. Connor Wong's not going to be that. Seidon Rafael is not going to be that. So who's it going to be? Is it going to be Alex Bregman? Is it going to be a trade guy? They keep saying that the right-handed bat is their top priority. That's what they keep saying.
That's like me every year I say I'm going to start reading, and I never do.
Do you say that?
Yeah, every year I have like it was actually like 2 weeks ago or a week ago for me where I was like, I'm going to start reading. I'm probably not going to start reading.
Do you have like something specific that you look at that says, okay, that's going to be what gets me to start?
No, the last book I read was Alex Speer's book, 2018.
Oh, I've been meaning to read that.
That's the only book I've ever been like, I can't put this down. This is amazing. And it was right. It was when everything was going well for the Red Sox. It was like the offseason heading into 2019. So I was like, all the Red Sox stuff I can get. But anyway, how do we start talking about this? Me reading?
I don't know.
Talking about things that aren't going to happen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Pat, do we have a listener DM of the week? I look at the clock and it's like, it feels like we just started talking Bregman stuff and we're like 45 plus minutes into this thing. So we got to get a DM before we get out of here with some stuff said.
We do. And I picked this one because it made me genuinely laugh.
Okay. Is it a rage? We get rage DMs?
Oh yeah. We got a lot. This one is by far my favorite one.
Oh boy.
This is from Justin Van Dyke. He says, "Hello, gents. Here is my DM to submit. In the end, it's my fault I'm upset. Sam Kennedy has shown us time and time again he's a lying, spineless twerp. Yet I believed him when he said they were going to spend. I should have known better. John Henry is a miserly, soulless prick.
Oh my God.
Red Sox are a joke.
Wow. I want to give Sammy the first response on this because he addressed the Sam Kennedy stuff, and that's Sammy. I want to give you the chance to also dunk on that.
I mean, first of all, twerp is a really underrated insult. That reminds me of Fairly Odd Parents with was it Vicky or whatever? Or
am I getting shows?
Yeah, Vicky.
Vicky, yeah,
we're over here, twerp. Yeah, twerp. Miserly, I'm not familiar with, but that maybe it's, I don't know. This, for this scenario specifically, I'm not even mad at ownership. I'm mad at Craig right now because it seems like ownership was cool with this. I'm mad at ownership for the previous four seasons, but I've talked about that ad nauseum. I don't think anyone wants to hear me yell at them anymore. The way I'm looking at Sam Kennedy right now is in one ear and out the other. He says something, I basically don't listen at all. And it's nothing against him personally. I just think that he's there to be a talking head for the Red Sox. So I don't currently, what day is it? January 23rd. Currently not mad at Sam Kennedy, just not listening whatsoever. John Henry. I don't know, man. Where the hell is he? Remember he showed up in public. There was like a fan who took a picture and was like, John Henry's so cool. And like, we're like, oh my God, is John Henry like kicking it back into gear? He could be in Antarctica right now and nobody would know. So I don't care about either of those guys at the moment. I'm mad at them. Again, I'm mad at them for the previous few seasons. But right now, my ire is at Craig Breslow. It looks like he's going to fuck this up pretty badly.
Yeah, if they don't get Bregman, I think you definitely, and this is coming from a podcast full of guys who have crushed this ownership group for not putting a team on the field that can contend the last few years. But if they don't get Bregman, I just reading through the tea leaves, man, it feels like it's more of a Breslow, more of a front office thing, less of an ownership thing. Feels like ownership is on board with it. And obviously, weird. you gotta trust the guy you hire to make the moves he thinks are best. But at the same time, it's like, okay, then you have to make a move. It can't be, I didn't think the right move was out there, so I did nothing. We've seen enough of that in the past. It's crushed this team in the past. Cannot do nothing. Funny tweet, though. Funny tweet.
Maybe this is why Craig was like their fourth pick during the GM search. People forget that. People forget, like, Red Sox weren't super hyped about Craig Breslow. He was like right there, like third or fourth option. Sounds like there was the former Pirate guy. There are a few others.
Thad Levine.
Thad.
Brandon Gomes.
Yeah, they wanted Brandon Gomes.
Gomes. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, it's, you know, last time we freaked out like this on the podcast, they proved us wrong. And they went and got Garrett Crochet and it made everything better. I'm really mad right now and I want to like punch something and like pound it in the sand or something, but it's like, okay, like tomorrow they could literally go out and trade for Carlos Correa. And like, I literally am just so excited for the season and we're ready to go. And like the time is now and we're ready to compete and everything is great. Mm-hmm. Like they really are. Like we can sit here and criticize and like talk about like Craig Breslow being whatever choice and like pound on Craig Breslow. But like literally like it is so, they are so close still. Like it's one move. And I got to sit here and still hope that the reason that they haven't been aggressive on Bregman is that there's something out there that they like more. And they're the ones who are hired to do this. They're the ones who are going to be evaluated on it. And they're the ones that we got to pray are right. Like, that's just where we're at. If it's not Bregman, you better be right. The guy you do get better hit 30.
I just can't think of anyone. William Contreras, trade for him. Good luck. Good luck getting that guy out of Milwaukee.
Good luck.
I would even be okay with Herrera. He's not.
That's not gonna give you a good offense, Sammy.
Yeah, but it fills a need, and he can hit. He's good, and it's just you can put him between passes.
Maybe can hit.
Yeah, I mean he's hit at every level. He was a bat first prospect, but then again, the defense.
You need a three hitter, dude. You need a three hitter.
Yeah. Ah, hey, 2018 Red Sox. Their number three hitter was a platoon of 35-year-old first baseman. So you need a good lineup.
They were great. Those guys banged.
Steve Pearce and Mitch Moore. I like those guys,
dude,
but that's not a traditional.
That was a World Series MVP.
They were all-stars. Not Steve. What? Mitch Moreland was an all-star in Boston.
He was?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he had one. But wasn't that the year
didn't... You had an all-star in a World Series MVP platoon. Come on, Sammy.
Come on. You're technically right. But no, I'm just saying that wasn't your traditional scary three-hole bat. It was a platoon of aging first basemen. You just need good bats. If you have good players and you take a guy like Herrera and put him between two really good players, that helps a lot. And I hate when people talk about like lineup protection's not real. Fuck that, dude.
Herrera's not a three-hitter, dude.
Oh, my
not,
God.
No chance.
Neither was Steve Pierce. He was a bench player his whole career.
He was good.
Sammy.
What?
Mitch Moreland was a one-time All-Star, and it was literally 2018.
Okay, but I'm
they
saying
had Steve... an All-Star hitting third, and you want Ivan Herrera.
Hold on. What was Steve Pierce's OPS with the Red Sox? What was his OPS?
The point is, this is my point.
901, Sammy! 901!
This is my point, is if you take a guy who hasn't been that great and you put him in a great lineup or between two great hitters, they'll be really good. You don't need a superstar, but you definitely should not settle for some, like, you know, like a fringe corner outfielder where you're like, okay, we don't really need this. If it's at a position of need, like catcher, then I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe the bat's not as good.
It's two different conversations. You need a three hitter.
It's the same
lineup.
You need
a three hitter and you need a catcher upgrade. You need both.
It could be the same guy. Same guy. Sean Murphy. Sean Murphy. What?
Sean Murphy hit like 170 last year.
Yes, he did. Okay. He hit.
Sean Murphy at 170. What was Steve Pierce's numbers before he got to Boston? Jeez.
I don't care.
You guys are arguing out of both sides of your mouth right now. This is absurd.
He had a 134 OPS plus, Samuel.
Steve Pierce, the year before he came to the Red Sox, had a 99 OPS plus. He was below average.
Well, good thing that Dylan Dave was right. Dylan Dave was like, that's my guy. He's going to be good. And he was right.
No, I'm right here. I'm saying you don't need a superstar. You don't. You just need a good player.
If Herrera has a 135 OPS plus, then I'll say you're right.
By the way, in this logic, and again, this logic only applies if it's at a position of need, which is basically just catcher and maybe second base. If it's a corner outfielder, just friggin' go with the young guys at that point. You get it's a reasonable dice roll at that point. But I wish it was just not this complicated.
We got to do enough said. We are running right up against the clock. We got to be super fast with it. I hope you guys have something prepared. Sammy, you nodded your head, which made me think you have something prepared. What do you got?
Let me go second.
Pat, do you have something? If you don't, I can go first.
Yeah, I can go.
Go for it.
I think the people who are pissed about the Josh McDaniels OC hiring forget how good Josh McDaniels is. Josh McDaniels, don't get me wrong, frustrates a lot of people. A lot of people. Third and seven, handoff up the gut. I get it. His play designs, his ability to maximize whatever talent he has. Mac Jones has had one good year in the NFL. One singular above average season. Josh McDaniels was the OC. His wide receiver one was Kendrick Bourne. Josh McDaniels is fine. He will be okay. I trust him with Drake May.
And he's not going to leave you for a different head coaching job because he's never getting one again. Sam, you want to go second or you want to go third?
I honestly don't really have anything, so you could just go.
Okay, I'll go. I was just going to say that the one thing that made me really happy today was my realization that we have not heard Tristan Casas trade rumors in quite a while. And then I got a little bit sad again when realizing that if they don't get Alex Bregman, that might bring those back to the table. But I'm going to stay positive about that and say that basically since Fenway Fest, when Casas said that, they tell me that those trade rumors are bullshit, it's not happening, they joke about it, whatever. We haven't heard basically a single thing about a Tristan Casas trade since then. Let's keep it that way. Let's keep Tristan Casas on the Red Sox. The only thing worse than not getting a good bat for this team is subtracting a good bat from this team. So don't do it. Don't trade Tristan Casas. Any final words before we wrap this thing up?
Yeah, you're done. If you if you trade Casas, just
pack it in for me.
See you in 2026, buddy. I don't know.
Maybe.
Always they. I got nothing. I'm nervous. I'm not mad yet, but I'm nervous.
Yeah, we got on this pod today, and I'll wrap this thing up here, but we got on this pod today and I was thinking, are we gonna rip shit? And it wasn't, we didn't exactly rip shit, I don't think. We certainly could rip shit. Like if they don't get Bregman, like if Bregman goes to the Astros, like you'll hear us on this podcast. We'll rip shit. But it was definitely like a caught like a, I don't know. We're certainly negative, but it wasn't rip shit. We're somewhere like on like the 65 to 70% of the way up the spectrum of ripping shit. We can get a lot worse. So we'll see. Next time we jump on this podcast, I mean, what, tomorrow or drop? Yeah, we'll be dropping Monday. So next time we get on this podcast, we'll see if anything has changed by the end of the weekend. But we appreciate you for now tuning into this one. It's, man, it's episode what, 172 of this thing? 172. Appreciate it. 172 episodes of this. We are goddamn just as passionate as we were on episode number one. And we appreciate you tuning in, but subscribe, rate 5 stars. We're on Spotify, Apple, everywhere you get your podcast. Subscribe and rate 5 stars. Go to YouTube on the WEI channel. You can go subscribe to WEI. You can find our videos there. We've got a Playtesty playlist. Has all of our videos, has all our episodes in video form. So you can go check that out there. Hit the thumbs up on the videos. That helps us out a lot. And as always, we are on the socials at Playtesty on both Twitter and Instagram. Till next time, till Sunday or till Monday, we appreciate you guys tuning in to Playtesty. It's episode 172. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.